Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" And then also we have a scripture this morning, if I can get to it. Out of Matthew 26, 27. Okay. Whatever you say, dear. "Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time they had notorious prisoners called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one of you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus?'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, as you know, today is Palm Sunday. And it's the day that is taken from the Gospels where a whole city threw a parade for Jesus. And as Jesus rode into the city, the people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. This day marked a time of celebration where Jesus was worshiped and praised. So this morning, I want to focus our attention on two services, both which focused upon Jesus, but with two different results. Billy Graham had been quoted many times as saying that the greatest mission field in our country today is in our local churches. Now, I'm not sure whether this statement is true or not, but one thing I do know is that many people know what to say and how to say it. That was the case as Jesus entered the city. But when the rubber truly meets the road, there are just empty words. That's true with a lot of people that call themselves Christians. They know what to say and when to say it, but they don't live it. That's what happened on Palm Sunday. That's what happened after Jesus entered the city. We see a perfect example of this in our two passages this morning. On Sunday, Jesus rode into the city with the people shouting praises and praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. But on Friday, they are shouting, "Give us Barabbas. We want him. Crucify Jesus. Crucify him." So you have to ask yourself, why the change? Well, there are possible many reasons for this. But the one real simple reason is that their words did not match their hearts. They possessed a casual, not a committed faith. They had religion, but they missed the person Jesus. So I ask you, how can we have a committed faith? How can we be real and sincere? How can we be consistent in all that we do? So I want to offer you some keys that just such a faith. The first one is that a committed faith is not self-centered. Oh, does that surprise you? It's not. A committed faith is Christ-centered. It's not about me. Well, this sounds obvious, but we often miss it in America. You see, in America, we tend to say to God, "Hey, God, it's me, I'm here. Here's my calendar. Here's my agenda. This is what I have to do this week. But I think I can squeeze you in here or maybe even here." And we turn to God only when it is convenient or useful for us. So in our passage, the people praised Jesus as he passed by. But many of them praised him for two reasons. First, because of his miracles. That's a pretty good reason to praise Jesus. After all, he had healed the sick. He had raised people from the dead. And second, because they saw in Jesus a way to be politically delivered from the Romans. Do you ever think of it in them terms? The Jews were oppressed. It was a hard life for them. And it was really hard to exercise their faith and worship them. So it was easy for them to see Jesus as a rescuer, which he was and is, but not for this reason. You see, people with a committed faith see the whole picture. They don't just see what is good for me. Their praise was tempered with the attitude of what you can do for me. And then, a few days later at the trial, they saw a beaten, disfigured Jesus. Now, how would you react? He's riding on a donkey. Everybody is there waving palms and praising him and singing and worshiping him and thanking him. Because up to that moment, this moment, all they've ever seen is his, or heard was his ministries, his promises, his miracles, which most of them were beyond belief. And then the next time you see him, a few days later, he is beaten, he is bloody, he is downtrodden, he has been tortured, he has been whipped. How would you react to that? Well, I'd like to think that those that have a committed faith would see through it. But those that do not have a committed faith Wow. He's not who he said he was. If he was, he wouldn't have allowed that to happen to him. He was a man who no longer looked like a deliverer or a conqueror. And as words were said about him, they brought into all the lies and quickly changed their position. For them, it was all about me. They didn't want to in the presence of Pilate. They did not want to stand up for Jesus, because with a faith that is not committed, fear sets in. And that's what happened to this crowd. They became fearful. So today, on Palm Sunday, in the year 2021, I ask you to choose to honor our great King. Can I get an amen? Jesus Christ, by giving him our very best, by withholding nothing, and by giving him our all. So the second key is that a committed faith is relationship driven. Many of those who gathered to throw their coats and palm branches onto the street and who shouted praises did so because it was a popular thing to do at the time. How many times have we fall prey to that? You're in the crowd. The crowd's reacting in a certain manner. And you don't want to be the one sore thumb. So you follow suit. You act just what they say. You give the same words that they're giving, just so you could fit in, because you want to be liked. You don't want to be different. I'm sure there were people in the crowd that responded in the manner that they did because of that reason. At that one brief moment, it became trendy. That's a word we use a lot today, trendy. Perhaps some began doing it with sincere motives. But others soon did it because others were doing it. In fact, for a brief moment, it was a trendy thing to do to make a mass murderer and criminal their hero when they shouted they wanted Barabbas. I hadn't thought of this until just now. How often in the last couple of years, if not longer, have we seen people demonstrating and praising a criminal? In a manner that they wouldn't think of praising Jesus Christ. We have all of these stories about so-and-so that was killed by the police. And they didn't deserve to die. But they didn't deserve to be made heroes either. And that is exactly what the case was here with Barabbas. I don't know if he deserved to die or not. But I do know he didn't deserve to be released. I do know that he didn't deserve to be made out a hero. He was a criminal. See, in our own lives, a committed faith comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One where every day is fresh and new as he personally directs our steps. That is a committed faith. In order to have a committed faith, we must develop and maintain a personal relationship with Jesus. Not a relationship that just says, I love Jesus. Not a relationship that tells other people, I go to church, I worship God. And then go out on Monday morning and do what you want to do. That results in a me, 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 me. That is not a committed faith. That is not what Jesus expects of us. He wants to be a part of our life, and he wants us to have a very, very close relationship with him today, tomorrow, and in eternity. So the third key is that committed faith is not swayed or blocked by our personal trials. Oh boy. It's excuse me. It's easy to have faith when everything's going good. But when COVID hit us, and I'm just using this as an example because it's the most recent thing that I can recall. When COVID hit us, for a lot of people, faith went out the back door. One of my biggest regrets in this ministry was when they shut down the churches. We couldn't gather and worship Christ anymore. And I followed suit. That's exactly what the crowd did. They followed suit. Shutting down the church when COVID hit was trendy. And I'm so sorry for it, and I apologize to you for it. Our faith is not to be trendy. Our faith is to be stronger than our fear. So now we gather in worship because the threat of COVID has subsided. What will we do if it pops its ugly head up again? Well, I can tell you what I'm going to do. I am not going to close this church. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. People that come and cast a shadow on our front door looking for a place to worship, they should not find a locked door. And as long as I'm here, they will not. You see, at the parade, it was trendy to offer praise. Everyone was doing it. But at the trial, to speak out for Jesus was risky, possibly even life-threatening. So many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to be good. Oh, maybe there's some slight bad in it that we're willing to accept, but not too much of it. So when the bottom drops out for us, we often ask God, why? What did I do to deserve this? I go to church every Sunday. I worship you with song and word. I sing in the choir. I help feed the poor. I do this and I do that. Why have you allowed this to happen to me? So what do we do? How do we respond? You know what, God? If you take this away from me, I'll give even more food to the pantry. So really you're saying, if you don't take it away from me, I'm not gonna. How often do we bargain with God? How often in our prayers and our devotions do we really, really say and mean, let thy will be done? You know, as much as it pains us to admit it, or even recognize it, or even say it, this is going to shock you, but God knows better. He knows more than we do. And that's where a committed faith comes in. And our faith is if our faith is based on our situation or circumstances, it will never be committed. Let me say that. If our faith is based on situations or circumstances, it is not a committed faith. It will always be a casual faith, a faith that works only when it is good for me. You see, I see many big Christian events. I see many packed large stadiums where the praise for God rocks the entire arena. God bless them. But how does that arena rock on Monday morning? Everyone is praising him. But tomorrow they face the hard task. Can you do it in a world that is not all praising? In fact, a world that is mocking and laughing and is often angry. That's where we're at today. We live in a world that mocks and laughs at Jesus Christ. We live in a world where a vast, vast number don't know anything about the story of Jesus. How many are out there today don't even know that today is Palm Sunday? And if they did, how many of them know what Palm Sunday is? It is our job to search them out and teach them exactly the story. And when we have a committed faith, we follow the instructions that Jesus Christ gave to us, and that is go forth and make disciples of all men. We do it. Not on the day that our calendar doesn't have anything for us, but whenever the situation arises. That's not easy to do. Especially in a world that is contrary to what we believe. That is exactly how it was in the crowd when Jesus was presented all bloody and scarred up. It was not easy to exercise a committed faith in the presence of somebody that was beaten near to death. It was much easier to cry for Barabbas' release. A committed faith takes the good with the bad. Period. That's it. A committed faith is knowing that all we are ever promised is that in the midst of both our good and bad, Jesus will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He will stand with us in the good or in the bad. And a committed faith knows that and sees that. God has placed us exactly where we are. We must trust him. And in that trusting, we eventually see that he is using our trials and difficulties to bring us to a new degree of spiritual beauty. You ever think of that when you're going through hard times? True contentment comes when we accept what God is doing and we thank Him for it. As we approach this week where our Jesus suffered incredibly for us, is your faith casual or is it committed? In a week where our sins, past, present, and future, were the nails that hung Him on that cross, Jesus deserves a second look. He deserves total control of our lives. He deserves a personal relationship with us. So I say this morning, this week, this holy week, consider it all and choose to give it all to Him. And all of God's people said,